Lake Effect continues now on WUWM. I'm Joy Powers. While Wisconsin is having a hard time keeping consistent spring weather, one thing we do notice this time of year is more daylight. But how does the positioning of the sun change course over the year? And how does it affect us? Our astronomy contributor Gene Creighton says that now is a great time for us to ask and answer these questions. As we all spend more time in the same place, we can be more purposeful in observing the sun's patterns. So for this month's astronomy conversation, Creighton joins Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski and invites all of us to do a simple experiment.
Gene Creighton, welcome back to Lake Effect.
Nice to see you, Audrey.
Now, it's a little colder today, but, you know, Wisconsin's trying to get into our spring weather here. But the one thing we do notice is a little more daylight throughout the sky. So what is it about the positioning of the sun that changes over the course of the year?
This is a great time to ask this question because many people find themselves with a little more time in the same place. So you can be more purposeful in figuring out the pattern for yourself, observing the pattern for yourself. So before I talk about what's going on, I'd like to invite our listeners to do an experiment. And this involves finding a spot in front of your house. Now, if you're the kind of person who's likely to be up early in the morning, then you should find a spot that's facing somewhere in the east, but to have a fairly good view of an eastern horizon. If you're the kind of person who's not likely to be awake or willing to be outside at 7, then you should probably get a western horizon so that you see the setting sun. A lot of people have this idea that the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. But of course, if you think about it, you know that there's certain times of year when the light streams in your house and you have to close the curtains, and sometimes it really doesn't. So this is where we're going to try and do the science thing and actually make a discovery for ourselves. Find the spot in front of your house, either facing east or facing west, and find out when is sunrise or sunset every day. And be out a few minutes before then. I'm envious of the people who have the time. They take their coffee, and I see there's a group of people for years who go and see the sunrise over Lake Michigan every day. I'm envious, but maybe this is your time to do it. It's important to be in the same place. Take a picture of that horizon for you, and it's useful if there's a tree or other reference points, houses, chimneys, so you can be specific. Today, the sun rose exactly to the left of the chimney of my neighbor, Margaret. Okay. See where it rises tomorrow. Now, sometimes experiments are not perfect, and maybe tomorrow there is a strategic cloud right in front of the sun, and it's not going to allow you to do this measurement, but you get to see a beautiful sunrise, and one of the things that I appreciate when I look at sunrise or sunset, they're never the same. Even if you can't exactly see the position of the sun, because of where the clouds are, at what height, what the quality of the air is, the colors that you see are going to be different. So even if that's all you get, another beautiful sunrise, bully for you. Okay, by day 3 or 4, this time of year, we can expect to get another clear day. At that point, you will see that the sun is a little north of where it was today. And I don't want to ruin the discovery for you, but sometimes it's nice to know, what am I supposed to see? So it's going to be a little north. And this trend is going to continue. In fact, it has been this way since the winter solstice. The sun has been heading ever so slightly to the north. Now it's going gangbusters because we're around the just after the spring equinox, and this trend will continue. The sun will continue to move every day north until the summer solstice. That's into June. Notice also that it is going to be happening a little earlier every day. And although it might be perfectly reasonable to see the sun rise in early April, by the time June rolls around, it could be that unless you are a very dedicated dog walker, you're probably not up at 5:30 in the morning. So it's easier to do the experiment now than it is in June.
Especially with perhaps some willing younger family members at home.
That's right. Now I think you have a chance. I remember when my kids were really little, it would not have been unusual for me to be up and about at 6. So this might be a great way to have kids have that experience with you. Now, let's say, though, that you have whatever obligations. Maybe you have a family. Maybe you don't. You're not up really in the morning first thing or at sunset, because at sunset you're thinking thoughts that have to do with dinner, and I'm very sympathetic to that. The other experiment that you could do, which could be any time as long as the sun is out, is to stand on the sidewalk in front of your house or anywhere and draw, you need a friend to do this, draw the shadow of yourself on this pavement. And guess where is the end of your shadow going to be in an hour or whenever you think you'll be able to check. Put a little X there. And in an hour, check it out. Sometimes people are surprised of how much that's moved or not. And what you should do is try that a few times at different times of the day. And then that will kind of build some capacity you have of really appreciating where is the sun at different times of the day and how dramatically shadow changes.
Now, is it the sun's solar cycle itself that causes the angle of the sun to change over time, or does the Earth's tilt affect this? Is it a combination of both?
It has mostly to do with the tilt of the Earth. I mean, the tilt of the Earth is what's driving seasons. And I've taught seasons for many years, and I realize that people have their first response is, well, I know what causes the seasons. But in fact, most people don't. So what I would say is the real thing to appreciate about the seasons is the two observable things we have about them, that the sun is up longer certain times of the year and that it's higher. And the fact that that's connected to the tilt of the Earth is a secondary concern. But let's acknowledge that the length of the day is longer certain times of the year. They max out on the summer solstice. If you live in the Northern Hemisphere, that's in usually the third week of June. If you live in the Southern Hemisphere, that is the third week of December. And that the height of the sun is different. And I guess a great experiment to do at home is if you take a flashlight and shine it on a piece of paper at a very low angle, you get an amount of light that fills a huge area. So if you're a little ant on that area, the amount of light you get per ant is not very much because it's been spread out in all this area. Now, if you take your flashlight and you put it directly overhead, then the area that it shines is actually pretty small, but that means that the individual ant gets much more energy from that flashlight, which means that it is much better at heating up our ground. And it has more time to do it, which is why we see such dramatic changes in temperature. Now, it is a fair question. Well, wait a second. If our longest and most intense light is on the third week of June, why isn't that the warmest day that we have? Well, it takes a while for the earth and water to warm up or cool down. Usually the warmest days are about a month later, because that's the lag. We live by a lake, which means that it can soak up a whole lot of energy before it warms up. and that makes the effect even more noticeable. So it tends to be about a month later.
Bit of a defrosting picture in my brain when you take something out of the fridge.
That's right, freezer. Exactly. That's right.
Now, with the sun, I was learning that, as you were mentioning before, it's a bit more complicated than simply rising and setting over time. When people have tracked this over photographs, the sun actually has a figure eight motion.
It is more complicated. I just wanted to get us comfortable with the idea that the sun is moving. I hear so many people think, well, of course the sun rises in the east and sets in the west, even though they have experiences of their own that would belie that statement. I would just like people to do the experiment, see where the sun is. And as I said, I think even if the morning or the evening isn't possible, try a midday, play with some chalk and see where the sun is putting your shadow.
Definitely great activities for all of us to keep in mind and be a little more mindful of as we observe changes in our home environment, and especially light.
Right. It occurred to me that if the weather is not, isn't great in terms of, or for whatever reason, you really need to stay inside, I'm wondering whether you can use your own home and windows with reference points. The important part is that you observe from the exact same place, but if you manage to do that, you could probably do this experiment just by looking out and figuring out, put a little post-it. Here is where the sun was today, and here where it is tomorrow.
All right. Well, certainly great ideas to do to keep us busy during this time. Jean Creighton, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Audrey. This was great fun.
Jean Creighton is our astronomy contributor and the director of UW-Milwaukee's Manfred Olson Planetarium. She spoke with Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski, and you can find all of our past segments with her at wuwm.com. Lake Effect will return in just a moment on Milwaukee's NPR.